Good evening, again. Glad to see everyone this evening. When I was younger in our home congregation, I remember growing up hearing the story about Bella and Ellie, woman that bought fare on a cruise ship, and they were going over somewhere, and she wanted to make sure she had something to eat, so she brought her crackers and cheese and was trying to make sure that she managed her money well and had something to eat. So each day she'd get her crackers and cheese out while the rest of the people went down there and feasted on steak and lobster and shrimp and chicken and whatever else it was they wanted to eat. And the next day came around and she got her crackers and cheese out, ate her crackers and cheese, and the rest of them went down there and fared sumptuously. Did that day after day until they reached port. So they were getting off the ship, and the captain was welcoming everybody to port. And when she came by, he greeted her, and he said, "Ma'am," he said, I have a quick question." He said, "Why was it that you ate crackers and cheese every day?" And she said, "I didn't pay for the fare for the rest of the food." She said, "I got that other fare is the reason why I ate my crackers and cheese." And he said, "Ma'am," he said, "that fare you paid covered everything. Covered all that the ship had to offer. That fare was paid." And we sang that song, "More Than a Conqueror." Did you know that the Lord paid a price so that we wouldn't have to just live on rations just to keep us alive? Subsistence rations. The Lord paid a price for us that we could fare sumptuously. And I think sometimes we don't partake of all that the Lord has for us, not because He doesn't want to give it to us, but it's because we don't put in for it. We stay in our room and we're content to eat our cheese and crackers and look forward to where we can get to port and get off and hopefully there's something better. I'm encouraged tonight that the Lord has a plan for us so that we can be more than just a survivor, more than just barely saying I won, but it looks like we almost died in the process. But that we can be more than a conqueror tonight. Thank the Lord. Who has Thanksgiving tonight?
Well, I feel like I have a message for the hour this evening that I would like to share with you. The title of the message is "To Heed the Sound of the Trumpet." I'd like to bring a message to you this evening out of the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. Maybe just a little quick review. Ezekiel was a prophet approximately 600 years before Christ. He was a contemporary of Jeremiah. And Ezekiel was a prophet during the time that Nebuchadnezzar came and took Jerusalem. And if you remember, they came and took a number of the people from Jerusalem captive. They took them to Babylon. And then a number of years later, they came back and took and destroyed Jerusalem and took a greater number of people back to captivity in Babylon. And Ezekiel was in the number of people that were taken captivity into Babylon the first time around. And Ezekiel preached to the children of Israel. He preached to them about their sin, about their rebellion, prophesied what was going to happen, and approximately 6 years after that, that in fact is what happened. Jerusalem was destroyed. and the bulk of the people there were taken captive in Babylon. I'd like to read a passage in the 33rd chapter by this prophet Ezekiel. The heading in my Bible, I'm not sure what your Bible says, but the heading in my Bible says God's message. So this is an important message. All the messages in the Bible are important. But for some reason, the heading of this one says God's message. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 9. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn and follow along with me. It says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So then, or so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die," he's talking to the watchman now, "if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Have you ever read that passage before? Given it much thought? I have to kind of think about it as you go through there. It's pretty specific. There's a message that God is wanting to get across to the one that he is speaking to, and in turn he's wanting us to get a hold of this message. And I'd like to look at a few of these verses tonight as we approach the start of our meeting. Our meeting is starting on Wednesday. Lord willing, there are ministers, watchmen, that are coming to us to deliver messages inspired by God for us here in this place. And so I think that it is timely and appropriate that we get a hold of the message that the Lord gave to Ezekiel and allow it to help prepare our hearts for the meeting that we have coming. So let's look at a few of these verses tonight. Verse 2 said, "Son of man, speak to the children of the people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land." So it sounds like that this is God, that the Lord is saying, when God brings the judgment upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman. So, watchman then, the Lord has watchmen that he wants to set up during our day and time. People that are there to look for danger. People that are there to understand when there is that is approaching that could do harm to the people that they are watching for. And God has set up watchmen among us. He has set up ministers, pastors, evangelists, but he has also set up parents. Parents kind of rise. They are one of the first sets of protection, of watchmen that God has set up for all of us to look out and to see what it is that is coming that may do our children harm, and to be able to warn against that which is coming so that we can be prepared. Because you see, before the sword of God comes, before the judgment of God comes at the last day, the enemy is going to come first. The enemy is at work now. The enemy is right now active and working to put things in our path that would cause us to err, that would cause us to get in the place that when the judgment of God comes, that we're going to be in trouble because sin will have overtaken us. And so the Lord in His mercy has set up watchmen that we might escape the tragedies that sin brings, that we might escape the sword of the mighty judgment of the Lord at the last day. Verse 3 said, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet. Now, the enemy has swords too. The devil, he has things that he brings our way to do us harm. But most of the time, they're not always dressed as something that looks like a sword. The enemy is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And oftentimes the enemy comes and he presents things to us that are disguised as something very different than harm and danger. I remember years ago I went to a co-worker's home and was in his house for a while, and he brought out a cane. And he said, here, Rod, he said, what do you think about this? Well, it looked like a really nice cane that was designed for somebody that was frail and weak and maybe needed some help to get around. And I was admiring his cane until he grabbed hold of the handle and separated the cane and brandished a very wicked-looking sword. It was not a cane at all. It was disguised as a cane, but it was not a cane. It was a sword. And that sword could be used for any number of things, and I can tell you that I have never viewed canes the same since. Why? Because I've seen that they're not always canes. And that they don't always belong to people who require additional help to get around. If I recognize that there is a sword among us, if a watchman comes and recognizes that there's a sword among us, wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to know what it was that you are being faced with? If I saw a band of men disguised as needy and decrepit, and they were all gathering around your house with canes, wouldn't you want to know that it might not be canes that they had? That it might be something very different from something that was just used to help them get around. If a watchman sees danger, if a watchman sees something, if God has revealed to someone something that maybe others don't see, and indeed that the watchman would not have seen except it be revealed to him by God. Doesn't the watchman have a responsibility to warn us of what it is that may be facing us? If a watchman comes and warns us that, look, these things that are available to watch and to listen to and to partake of look innocent, but they can do you a lot of harm. If the conduct of a particular area of our life is made known, and the watchman helps us understand that that is something that could have far different consequences in our lives than what we might see, wouldn't we want to know? If the watchman is able to see that there is something that has come among us or perhaps to somebody individually and understands that there is unbending judgment of God pronounced on something that perhaps we are flirting with in life, doesn't the watchman have a responsibility to make that known? Because sometimes we would do better if we knew better. It's not always that we're always trying to do wrong. You know, I think that a lot of times people make the best decisions they know to make. And we're not always making decisions because we want to be a sinner. We're not always making decisions because we want to see how close to the line we can get and still somehow be saved. Sometimes we can just be deceived by things. There are many times we just don't know. I would never have known that cane was a sword had he not showed me that was a sword. It wasn't a cane. It just looked like a cane. I would have been deceived, not because I was a bad person, just because I didn't know any better. And we can take things into our lives. We can allow things to cross the boundary into our own personal boundary, into our own lives, that we are not aware that given time, that thing can turn into something far different than what we thought it was. I remember in high school, and maybe you all remember this as well, being taught about the Trojan horse. You hear about it, the Trojan horse? We hear about it today a lot of times in terms of computer viruses. They call it a Trojan, the Trojan horse. And there's history to that. What it means is that it looks like something you ought to click on. It looks like something that would be good. But if you click on it, it gets into your system and then it goes about to do harm. And the history of that is that there was the Greeks that were trying to get into the city of Troy. But the city of Troy had walls of protection around them, and the Greeks couldn't get in to that city. So it looked like that they finally gave up and they went home. And the folks in the city got up in the morning, they looked over the wall, and it looked like they were all gone. But what was left was a very large wooden Trojan horse. And they looked at that and wondered, well, what is that? Some of them thought, well, maybe they left us a gift. It looked like a pretty grand thing, and that's all that was there, was this nice-looking Trojan horse. And it looked like something that ought to be brought, that there would be no harm in bringing it inside the walls of the city. And so that's what they did. They brought the Trojan horse into the walls of the city, and I don't know how much truth there is. A lot of this is lore. There may have been some truth to some of this, but it's a story with a lot of lesson. They brought the horse into the city, closed the gates of the city back up, and then that night there were men, the enemy was inside the Trojan horse, hiding. And when everybody went to bed, they opened up this little compartment and they came out and they opened up the doors of the city and the rest of the enemy came in and they were able to take the city. Did you know the enemy works just like that? He can present us with the most innocent looking things. And it looks like that the greater enemy has departed. And that there's nothing there that can harm us. And we think, well, what's the harm of letting this in? It looks like it's good. It looks like there wouldn't be any problem with it being inside our city walls. No problem being inside of our lives. And yet, we let those things come in. And many times, those things that look innocent, those things that don't look like they could do us any harm, they are the catalyst for opening up another door to let an even greater enemy come in that we never, ever recognized. And it never would have happened had somebody looked at that and said, whoa, wait a minute. Don't bring that in here. That was left by the enemy. That was not left by people who wanted good for us. That was created and set there by a people that had everything except good intentions for us. Leave it alone. And yet oftentimes we look at it and it looks attractive. We don't see anything wrong with it. And we override the warnings that are given. History has repeated itself over and over and over again with this same similar story. Over and again, people look at things and think, I got a handle on it. I can control it. It's not that big. I'm bigger than it. We're bigger than them. Not realizing that it is a way to get a crack in the door so that even greater things can come in and get us. And so the Lord set up watchmen to watch and observe and to be on guard to help us understand those Trojan horses that may come along our way throughout the course of life. Verse 3 said, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet to warn the people. Blow the trumpet. Make noise. Hey, folks, there's a problem. There's risk out here. Be aware. Heads up. Give this your attention. When we first moved to Louisiana, I wasn't used to tornadoes. And I remember the first time being in the manufacturing plant and we had not trumpets, but we had an alarm system with sirens that when things would happen that could potentially cause us harm, these sirens would go off. Well, we were standing out there after hours one night and these sirens started going off. And I said, what's that? And this guy standing next to me that lived there all his life said, oh, that's just one of those tornado sirens. I said, tornado sirens? What does that mean? Well, it means that they've spotted a tornado and it probably may be coming our way and it means you're supposed to take cover. And I was like, yeah, and do we need to be taking cover? Oh, I never took cover. No sense of urgency. Heard it before, seen it before. And what did I do? I followed his lead. Now, fortunately, there was no tornado that came through. But I wonder how many times, folks, the alarm sound, the trumpet, the blast of the trumpet is given. The warnings go out from ministers, from parents, from somebody that the Lord speaks to go warn the people. Maybe warn you as a person. And we let it go. That's just those alarms. That's just the noise of the watchman. We'll probably be okay. I wonder how many times we have been guilty of doing that. I don't want to be guilty of doing that. I want to heed the sound of the trumpet. May God help us do that. So the seventh verse said, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman." This is God talking. He said, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." God has set members in His body to be watchmen, not to do us harm, not to be an inconvenience to us, not to tell us things that are just uncomfortable. The Lord has set watchmen not just to dig around in our lives and get into our business, but God has set watchmen with the intent that we would listen and that we would take heed from the appointed watchmen. Some say, "Well, I just listen to God. I listen to God, and that's all that I listen to. That's just a person over there, just like I am. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like I do, and there's nothing special about them. In fact, they've got these faults over here that I can see, and so I just listen to God." But folks, God set it up. He ordained the foolishness of preaching. He set it up to put watchmen in place to help warn us of those things that could do us harm. And he doesn't want us to be careless. He doesn't want us to just casually push to the side the warnings that may be given to us that are coming this next week as we prepare for meeting time. And perhaps there are going to be things that cut close in our lives, and we think, well, you know, who is he or who is she? I know something about them too, and it's not that big of a deal for me. Let's be careful that we heed the sound of the trumpet, that we allow the Lord to work through other people for our good as He has intended for it to be. Yes, the Scriptures teach us to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or whether they be of man. Not everybody that blows their trumpet is blowing a trumpet with the Word of God. And so the Lord says, try the spirits. Listen to what is said. Go back and dig in the Word. Go back for yourself, which is what we're supposed to do anyway. The Lord doesn't want us to just take the words of man only and just follow it as if we're following a list of to-dos and don'ts and think we're going to be okay. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. But listen to the sound of the trumpet. Give it time and give it consideration. And yes, work out your own salvation. But how does the Scripture say to work out your own salvation? With fear and trembling. Carefully. Because eternity is at stake. Because your lives are at stake. Because it may be that God is sending a message to you, to me, that He wants us to get a hold of, because He sees that there's a Trojan horse out there. That if we're not very careful, we will allow it into our lives. We'll open the doors and we'll let something start to have a place in our own personal property. That with a little bit of time, that thing leads to something far bigger than what we ever could have imagined. So let's be willing to not be casual and careless about the word of the Lord that comes forth. The 8th and the 9th verse says, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." So what this is saying is, and he's talking to the watchman, he's saying, look, If you warn those that are in iniquity, if you warn those that are doing wrong, and they continue in their iniquity and die, and the sword of God comes in His judgment, and they are judged for it and die in their iniquity, if you were faithful as a watchman to warn them about that, then their blood is not going to be on your hands. But if I give you a message and you are uncomfortable to deliver it, that's my words, not the words in the scripture, but we can be uncomfortable sometimes delivering the word of the Lord because we know that it might cross somebody's life. We know that sometimes it gets sensitive because it may be things that people don't want to give up or they don't want to move up to. And so it may not be convenient. It may not be easy. But this is saying, if you don't give the message that I give you, yes, they'll be lost in their iniquity, but I'm also going to hold you accountable. Their blood is going to be on your hands. You see? But if you're faithful as a watchman, and you deliver the warning, you blow the trumpet, and you say, look, there's danger. Don't allow that thing. It's a sword. It's not a cane. It's probably not a group of men that you want inside of your house right now. Those mean you harm. If the message is delivered and the warning is delivered, and they don't pay any attention and they let the men in anyway, but the watchman was faithful to deliver the warning, then God will not hold their blood on the watchman. So I want to say this this evening. Bear with the messengers of God, if you will. Because it may be that the messenger is endeavoring to spare his own soul. The messenger may not want to have to stand before God and answer to God, why was it that you didn't deliver the message that I gave you? The Lord does not require the messenger to make the people do anything. The messenger is just that. He's just a messenger. He isn't going to come home with you, dig around in your life, force you to do things that you don't want to do. He's just a messenger. That's all watchmen are. They're just a messenger. Blow the trumpet. Make a noise. The sirens at work. The sirens can't make people go to a safe area. They just let you know, warning, there's a potential problem out here. But they do have a responsibility to blow the trumpet when the Lord gives a message for the people. And it may not always be a preacher. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. It may be somebody that slips up and puts their arm around you and says, look, I'm concerned about this. Would you give this consideration? It may be that God has made them a watchman for that particular thing at that particular time. It may not be your watchman for the rest of your life, but it may be something that the Lord helped give them a vision of, that if you will listen and humble yourself. Because sometimes we rise up and think, well, who are you to tell me that? We're just people. But God designed it that way. And sometimes, well, a lot of times, ministers, you preach a message and you have no idea at all what's going on in people's lives. Sometimes you don't even, most of the time, you probably don't even understand how the Spirit takes the word and reveals it to the hearers, because that's in God's hand. That's not in the messenger's hand. God is able to take His word that is preached forth, and He is able to take it and apply it to each individual person in the way that they need it. And it may be in interpreted by under the unction of the Holy Spirit in a way that the person delivering the message had no idea that that's how it was being taken. But God was at work using the messenger. So let's be open. You may not be a minister, a pastor, an evangelist. It may be a friend. Young people, God has put parents in a place to be watchmen. And go easy on your parents sometimes. All the time. Go easy on parents. Parents have a responsibility to be the watchmen for their children. They have a responsibility before God. It's not always about you. It's also about them. It's also about the parent. It's also about filling the responsibility that God gave the parent in being a watchman for their children. And so sometimes you think, oh, mom and dad, why did you say that? Why do you keep saying that? It may be because the parent recognizes that that's not a cane, it's a sword. Maybe that they've seen it before. Maybe have seen something that you haven't seen. And they also may understand that God has given them a burden and has put it on their heart to warn you about something because they've seen the end of it already. It's already happened multiple times. And so God has made parents first and foremost watchmen for their children. So children, young people, be easy on your parents. When you feel like, why are you saying that? Understand that you may be doing exactly the same thing in a few years. And you would like the same respect given to you by your children as your parents would like of you. God set it up this way. I didn't set it up this way. Parents didn't set it up this way. This is how God ordained it to be set up. That we would grow up in homes with parents that would teach us, hopefully teach us from the Word of God, hopefully sound the trumpet of truth. God is the one that ordained it for us to assemble ourselves together and put different people in different places. Some teachers, some evangelists, some pastors, some given to helps. Some people in the congregation that do more good than what we ever realize collectively. But they are going about quietly fulfilling their responsibility as watchmen, helping us get to heaven. God set it up that way. Could He do it all Himself? Of course, but that's not how He set it up. He set it up to work through people. And He asks us to be humble. He asks us to be easily entreated. He asks us to be willing to give a listening ear to the sound of the trumpet and then go back to the Word of the Lord. Go back to our prayer closet. Fall on our knees. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what about this? Lord, help me understand what it is that You have for me in this. Open my eyes of understanding, Lord, that I might see. And before we conclude tonight, I also want to gently challenge all of us that Jesus said that ye are the light of the world. That is a message to every single one of us here this evening. Ye are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In the book of Mark, His commission was that we would go into the world and preach the gospel. That wasn't just to His disciples, but that is a commission that the Lord has for every one of His people. That we would take the gospel message by the conduct of our lives into the world. That we might show people light. That we might not contribute to the darkness, but that we would be a light, a candle that gives light unto all that are in the house as a watchman, that people might be able to see truth and see the error of those things that would cause them harm. I want to be open. Personally, this evening, I want to be open. I want to be humble. I want to have a listening ear. There are a lot of noises in the world around us. There are a lot of sounds. I want my ears to be turned towards and tuned to hear the sound of the trumpet of the Holy Spirit that sometimes is given through the messengers and the watchmen as He has ordained. So this evening, let's pray for those that are coming to our meeting. Let's pray for our meeting that God would inspire words from heaven, that the words that come forth in our hearing would be words from heaven, and that those that would minister to us would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit as watchmen ordained of God, and that we as people would open up our hearts and our ears and our minds, that we would receive what God wants us to receive personally, that in the end, when the judgment of God comes, we might be found in peace. Pray for me tonight. I want to be true. Amen.